Blog Talk Radio.
February 16th, 2 days after Valentine's Day. What better way to spend 2 days after Valentine than with the man my wife calls my Valentine, because I probably spend more time talking to him than I do her. Ladies and gentlemen, a man who needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway. The Eastern Assassin, the the Beast from the East. Ladies and gentlemen, the man you all came to hear, Eddie Geik. Eddie, take us away.
Whoop-dee-doo! Let's look at the schmoo! How are you? And, you know, the 23's good news! I'm doing great! Great Valentine's Day, 2 days after still eating mountains of candy, the chocolates, as they say, the Ghirardelli, the Ghirardelli, the Hershey's, the whole kit and caboodle. Rangers got a win, Jim. I got my candy, so it's all good in Eddie Geikville.
You get a win, you get chocolate. What more could anyone ask for, right?
Really? Come on.
Three power play goals and chocolate? Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. And this chat room is blitzkrieg with Ranger fanatics.
Look at this.
Throwing the emoticons all over the place tonight.
There's nothing but love in this chat room tonight. It's beautiful.
Love.
It's beautiful.
You know, and I just love it. And I never get tired of talking puck with the people who are in the know, the thousands of people that listen to this show. God damn it, I love you, everyone, like you were a grandson. Although I have no sons, and I'm never going to have a grandson. So,
but you are
or
quite
daughters. I may procreate one day, but who knows? Somebody's going to extend this ridiculous family line of mine.
Frosty.
Anyway, found a great Frosty. You know, what am I talking about? I'm talking about my family. I'm just so excited to be back and live and talking to you and talking to the guys. And why don't you tell the folks what we got going tonight? Before we get into the whole, we put our hands fist deep into the
before
Ranger orifice. The Ranger orifices.
Before we get right down to the rectal exam of this program, just a little while, about 9 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Nick, the great Nick Montemagno from Rangers Tribune / Blue Shirt Banner, Dave Shapiro from Blue Seat Blogs / Blue Shirt Banner, our buddy Mike Gleick, or I think that's how you say his last name, he's from Bleeding All Blue. We got, who else we got? We got Eric coming in from the Five Hole blog. We got Kevin coming in from the New York Rangers blog. He kept it simple. They're all coming in for our first blogger roundtable. We've been talking about doing this for a while. We're just going to toss back a few questions and a little debate and have a little fun with it and get some of the other guys that are out there involved, because, you know, it's not just about Blue Shirt Banner. There's a lot of other guys out there like Nick and Dave. They do a great job with their sites, too. We want to reach out to them, get their thoughts on the show.
Yeah, why not?
The Rangers and this, you know, like I said, we've always told you guys, this show's not just about us. So we got all these coming in, and you crazy guys, we appreciate it. Look at this chat room. It's exploding like my pants. It's crazy.
Oh!
We got some first-timers in here tonight, I see. We got Omar Little, the former GM of the New York Mets is here. We got Zen27 is here. We've got a guest. We've got lots of – look at all these guests.
Carrots.
We got more guests in this chat room than that Todd Rundgren show I've seen on the Blog Talk Radio.
It's going to be
suck on Todd Runs.
I know. That's just slowly I turned. I said, mention that guy. He's one of the boneheads. Look at the you people. We love you.
Cough boneheads are here. Hopefully some guys from the HF boards here. But enough about them, because really, they get way too much press on this show. No, I'm only kidding. But let's get fist deep in some rants I've been waiting to get at. Will you allow me that, or do you want to
Did you say fist deep?
I was the whole orifice thing I was referring to myself before. Fist deep in the range of orifice of what I had
all right
to talk about.
Get in there. You're like Mike Rowe with the dirty job.
Right.
Get your hands, roll your sleeves up, and let's get down to it. Go.
Okay, here we go.
The floor is yours, as you would say.
The floor is yours. Okay, I want to just go back to the game that we all don't want to remember, the game where Michael Delzato decided to do the flopsy-mopsy, pretty much, and, give up a goal late when we had the lead on, who was it again? One of those crummy teams. Atlanta. Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
And Tortorella chewing him a new butt. Now I'm working clean. A new ass on the bench again. Let me tell you something, John Tortorella. You went from Jack Adams to Gomez Adams on this. Because there's no way you publicly embarrass a guy. Now, I know, I'm like you guys. I was throwing everything at the screen. I was calling him every name in the book. He deserved it. He deserved it from us. But as a coach, as a professional coach, you do not embarrass a guy on the bench in front of the, well, I can't really say crowd in Atlanta. but
in front of the group.
And I want to tell you, it was an abomination late in that game. He deserved to be chewed out, spit out, and kicked out after that game. But John Tortorella seems to make it personal with Delzato. And when you're dealing with a 20-year-old kid, whether you think he's going to amount to anything or not, I thought it was a bad move by Tortorella. And when Tortorella loses, he makes it personal. He makes it personal with Gaborik. He makes it with Lundqvist. And even in the Pittsburgh game, I found his comments, again, expecting a little bit too much. And I really thought that was a bad move on Torts' part. He's been great, but once he starts losing, it's like, you know, Jekyll and Hyde. And, you know, he was Mr. Hyde, right? Mr. Hyde was the bad one, right? I think so.
Yeah.
Literary guru looked that up. So I don't know. I didn't agree with it, and hey, it made us all sick. I don't know about anybody Ranger fan I talked to, that goal didn't make us sick, we all should have been like, you know, prescribed Paxil after that some antidepressant after that game, because it got wacky. So anyway, that's my Tortorella rant, and then he's playing tomorrow. I mean, I don't get it. Send him down. I don't know. What do you think, Jim, about that before we get on?
Honestly, didn't have a problem with him getting on Delzato the other night. I didn't think it was nearly as bad as when he got on him last year. I forget what game that was last year when he really tore into him and made him go sit down, made him go sit at the kids' table down the end of the bench. Look. You know what? I look at it this way. They're adults. They're professional. They're professional hockey players. You know, occasionally that's going to happen in sports. We've seen it happen in football. You know,
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
We see Chris Drury stinking up the ice for months at a time. Plenty of Rangers stink it up last year's year. Nobody gets, other than Envelisian getting his bench for a whole game, sitting on the bench against Pittsburgh last year, I haven't seen anybody else treated like that. Now, I know he blew the game. I mean, he stunk the joint up, but he cost us a game. Taking the locker room towards. Now, second issue. It's like the McLaughlin Report. McLaughlin Group. Second issue.
Next issue.
Next issue. Dave Maloney. Did you hear this? He feels that fighting should be banned. Fighting should be banned from Dave Maloney. You know who we should ban? Dave Maloney. Listen, Dave. You were one of the worst captains that ever was in a Ranger uniform. You make Chris Drury look like Mark Messier as far as captain duty goes. You never won a fight. You were a turtle. And I was taught by the Blue Cedars of old to hate you in my first game, and I still hate you even more now, band fighting. A guy that's an old-school hockey player like you should never utter those words. You're on my crap list, Dave Maloney. And again, you'll be, every time, I wish you this. I wish you a neck cramp every time you say, first and foremost, to begin a sentence. Thank you. Now, you're not going to help me on this?
I didn't know you were finished.
Well, Newman is talking about Dave Maloney's in the range of greats 100, Eddie. Yeah, well, I had the authors on. I told him Dave Maloney shouldn't even be in the top 100. I told them, I'm not afraid to go to the authors of these books and challenge. You know, I'm not going to give you some softball interview like John Monotone and Stan Fishface and Howie Rose. And speaking of Howie Rose, and we get that whole Mario thing where Mario comes out with his, like, no fighting or I'm going to take my toys and go home. Go. Don't let that door hit you with a good Lord split you, Mario. You big faker. David Shaw, I think you went down like it was the Zapruder films. Adam Graves, the same thing. You're a faker. You're a phony. You got your picture all over that, what do they call that new play? The XL Energy Corral Phillips Arena Center, whatever they call that place they play now. He's got his, they got a whole picture of Bow Down to Mario. Well, suck it, Mario. You're a crybaby, just like Crosby. And you employ the dirtiest player in the league in Matt Cook, who's headshot everybody but my grandmother. And you're leading the league, close to leading the league penalty minutes. Listen, you got beat up by the Islanders. I know that's embarrassing. I'd be embarrassed, too. Anything the Islanders succeed in and beat you in is embarrassing. But you were yucking it up when Brett Johnson was destroying DiPietro's face. You had Flurry's laughing. Everybody laughs a minute over there. As soon as you get your handed by Jack Haley there, or what's that guy's name, man? Haley's Comet.
Jack Haley.
He's going to have Jack Earl Haley from Fair News Bears. All of a sudden, it's all we've been sent to get rid of. You know
Alex
what?
Haley?
Alex Haley from Roots. So, Mario, it's just stupid. You sound stupid with your false threats. What are you going to sell? Who cares if you sell the Penguins? Oh, God, you make me sick. Great, one of the greatest players ever, but just shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth. You know, you make yourself look stupid. You make yourself look stupid, Mario. You know, especially with under your employ is is one of the dirtiest players. There's no doubt. The whole hockey world knows it. Apparently, Super Mario doesn't know it. So anyway, they're a big faker too. I never liked him. I think it's because he's French. I don't know. I hope our French listeners aren't offended, but I don't know. Band fighting, him and Dave Maloney. They could go play tiddlywinks with each other. Disgrace. All right. What else do I got? What other rants do I have in me? Let's get to the game. Let's talk about Pittsburgh.
Okay. Three power play goals.
Yeah, I like that. But
you
what
know,
was first, Jimmy, what was first in that game?
Well, we fell behind 2-0 in the first 5 minutes of the game.
This team, you know, if John Tortorella wants to assess blame on every player, how about him? How about his opening game plans? They suck. They come out bad every first period for the most part. How do you get me down 2-0 after you berate every player and then you don't have your team prepared at home? Give it a break. And I know you want to talk before we get into the power play. I know you want to talk because you watched the Pittsburgh feat. Why don't you tell everybody what was going on in that Pittsburgh feat?
Oh, Berlin Betty and Tokyo Rose. Oh my God! What propaganda! Oh my God! From the opening drop of the puck, I think Letang took a penalty. I think that was the Rangers' first goal. I'd have to go back and look, but I think it was Letang. They're watching the replay. Oh, I don't see any penalty there. And then the Rangers have the puck on the power play. Oh, what? No tripping call there? What's the problem? Oh, I don't like the way this is going. Oh, I don't know what game they're watching. Oh, and that whole thing with the Mario letter, they treated that statement Mario made like it was the most important statement made since the burning bush talked to Moses. Six times they read it during that broadcast on Sunday. Oh, and Mario says that, he doesn't know if he wants to be associated with the game, Bob, and I got to kind of agree with him. I'm not sure I do either. Good. Quit. Bolte, you suck. I can't even think of the play-by-play guy's name, but the color analyst is Bob Errey, the genius who made the joke about Hobie Baker dying in a plane crash. You can go look that up on YouTube. I don't have the audio from it, but you can go look it up. He made a joke one night about Hobie Baker dying in a plane crash. Oh, yeah, there you go. Mandar just posted it in there in the chat room. But they're just terrible. And complained. I guess they thought the puck went into the net, the netting at one point, and came back down on the ice. Oh, what is this, Arena League rules? What, we're not going to stop the play when the puck goes into the net? Oh, and then they're talking about the Pittsburgh Arena team. Whatever they're called, the Pittsburgh, I don't know, fair daisies or whatever, pansies, whatever they're called. I guess it's one of their games. We don't play the puck wherever it lands. It was just unwatchable. And anybody that was watching the game on NHL Network on Twitter or Blue Shirt Banner would just going nuts about it. I mean, they are just absolutely embarrassing, the whining and complaining. But I mean, it's obvious they take their lead from the owner of the team and the superstar of the team.
Yeah, well, his face is all over. They all pray to the altar of Mario. I'm not going to say the guy was one of the greatest shooters I ever seen in my life. But he said some stupid-ass things. And meanwhile, you're watching that broadcast, and we're stuck in we're stuck. Because all I had to hear was Cry Me a River with Micheletti telling us about all the injuries Pittsburgh has.
Oh, well, I heard all about them, too. I heard all, they showed the injury list several times. Oh, it's we don't want to make excuses, but, oh, it's tough to compete when you got the baby Penguins out here. And look at this list, Bob. There's 10 guys on it. Everybody's hurt. Oh, I don't know. Like the Rangers beating them should only count for half a win or something. I didn't hear them complaining when the Rangers were beating them in Pittsburgh with half of the whale pack on the ice.
Yeah, the whale pack. We got Brody DuPont out there, and the rest of the other characters. We were the caloric intake and the Lobster Newberry, who just got called up, and all those other jokers we were throwing at them. We didn't hear about that. And they had the nerve to cry a river for our own announcers. Will these announcers start treating the Rangers like they're the home team? They only want to hear about. Again, I've said it 1,000 times. I don't care what Chris Letang, what kind of car he drives. I don't care. Tell me something about the Rangers, you dummies. I've had enough. And they won in a while on the announcers. But getting back to the game, hallelujah, the Rangers got reeled off 5 straight goals. I don't care. That's a well-coached team. Listen, I'll give props to that team. That Pittsburgh is a well-coached team. They still have very good defensemen. You got Letang, Paul Martin, Orpik. These guys are not. And for a team that has trouble scoring, the Rangers, to score like they did was an accomplishment. They deserve the win. This was not a gimme. It certainly is not a gimme. You got to win the game. And so I give the Rangers full marks to win that game. And yeah, I'm glad that Crosby and Malkin didn't play. I mean, sure, but Fleury is no slouch either. I mean, you know, he's either the equivalent to Hank. I mean, I'm sorry if some Ranger fans will disagree with me because they're a little Hank crazy over here. But I thought it was a well-deserved win. Cali gets two goals. That was impressive. I was glad to see him getting going. And, what else did you pick up in that game? I mean, I picked up several things.
Well, I tell you, I mean, you know, obviously with the three goals, but, I mean, that power play, finally, just it was nice to watch a power play work. Moving the puck, the four forwards, worked well. Of course, one of them got hurt, but that, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, the Polish Prince, he'll be out for tomorrow night against L.A., but rib problem. But, you know, it was just nice. You know, it got to the point where when they got penalties, when they got power plays, I was actually getting excited. Oh, we got a power play, instead of, oh, shit, here comes another power play. Here's 2 minutes of my life I'm not getting back.
Yeah. And, like some people said in the chat room, unique concept, screen the goalie, get people in front. That Mark Stahl even jumping up there in front. Wound up getting, when he get two assists in that game? I mean, looking good. We should have, like, Freddie Prinze click when he says, looking good, you know?
Mark Stahl's brother was playing in that game, by the way.
Oh, God. They did mention it a couple times, but they didn't kill it. Hey, by the way, the news flash, Jordan, your brother owns you. There were two specific plays in that game where Jordan Stahl went one-on-one with Mark, and Mark just took the puck away from him. I'm telling you. We talked about this with Carp when he was on, about the Mark Stahl being a really – he didn't really think Mark was a shutdown defenseman. I'm really thinking he's getting there, total shutdown. He doesn't have the numbers that, like, a Chris Pronger has as far as offensively, but – he's really becoming just a force out there. I also, during the game, I'm checking my bullet points here. That's an inside joke. Gilroy looked solid, but in that game, I was looking at the defensemen, and they really didn't play that third pair at all. They had like 7 minutes of ice time, and it was basically, Stahl and Girardi and McDonough and who else? Who else would he be playing? Gilroy, right?
Gilroy, yeah.
Yeah. So he played them a lot in that game.
I think Emminger only wound up with four minutes of ice time. He'd seen enough of Emminger after the goal that went off his back. I think the honeymoon's over with Steve Emminger.
Sour.
There we go.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I had a little brain fart there. So my blood pressure is like, 200 over 190 right now. So excuse me if I may have an aneurysm during this program, which would be good for ratings. Again, McDonough is solid. Love the kid. And, I still, although some guys disagree with me, that first period of Rangers got to come out better in the first period. Again, especially at home, you got to do it. You got to establish home ice. Now, LA's playing Columbus tonight. We got a score on that yet?
I'm going to the NHL scoreboard as we speak.
Okay.
And we have another big game. We got the Devils playing the Canes tonight.
Oh, yeah. Who are we rooting for? The Devils are coming up. I'm so afraid of
them. Devils are ahead 1-0 in the second period. Kings 3-1 over the Blue Jackets in the second period. Flyers over the Panthers 2-0 at the end of one. And Toronto is beating Buffalo 1-0.
Maybe the Rangers could take advantage of the two games and two nights for L.A. tomorrow, because I'm a little afraid of L.A. They got a really good team tomorrow. I'm going to be at the game. filming and doing what I do best, you know. And right at this point, well, I won't go into that. But yeah, it should be fun. And in the Pittsburgh game, some guys got it on the score sheet. I've also realized that Brian Boyle will never pass the puck again.
No, he had a 3-on-1, and he shot the puck. He had a 3-on-1 with the defenseman right in front of him, and he still shot the puck. And that's all I was thinking about. I was thinking about you. He'll never pass the puck, ever.
Yep. He is never going to pass the puck. You know when you used to play street hockey or ice hockey, and you knew there's that one guy on the team, he was a total puck hog, and
yeah,
just going to shoot. He never thinks of anything, and I think that's because Torts ingrained that into him. You know, just shoot, just shoot, just shoot. You know how he is?
Right.
And Bandon knows the guy that we used to play street hockey with. You just know, no matter what, you're going to be a 3-on-1. I'm like, come on. Throw us a bone here, Brian. I mean, I love you. You're scoring goals and everything, but come on. You know he's going to maybe think of passing. So, I don't know. You know, 5 straight goals is like, but I get worried when the Rangers score a lot because then it winds up they go on a drought for the next 5 games. It's like that Toronto game, you know, where they got all those goals and. But it's good that the power play is back on track. Jimmy! It's good.
Yes. Yes, it is. Sorry. About I'm responding to
distracted?
Responding to a message. All right. I apologize. I don't get this NHL scheduling. The Rangers play on Sunday. Then they're off for 3 nights. Now they're going to play 3 games in 4 nights. Can't they spread this out a little bit better? And this is not the first time this has happened this year. I don't get that.
I don't know. Did they play a lot of back-to-back games before the... You know, they played like 11, 12, something like that. Back-to-back.
Scheduling is just very... very strange. You know, why give them 3 days off and to make them play 3 times in 4 nights? So,
right.
And then they got just taking a look at the schedule here. They got LA tomorrow night, the Devils on Friday night at the Rock. I believe John Newman will be in attendance, possibly Costa. So those two can sit together and
be there too. No,
Zach will be there.
I think Zach might be there. But yeah,
and then. And then the Flyers on Sunday, and I think Rez Robbie's told us a few hundred times he's going to be at the game.
Yeah, the Flyer game, it's going to be a big game. They made a trade, which I thought was a ridiculous trade. Not ridiculous, I just thought it was a bad trade. I mean, you get Chris Versteeg, and he's a good player. He's a good role player. He's a good guy in the playoffs, as he showed last year. But you give up a number 1 and a number 3? I mean, I think that I know this year's draft is not supposed to be so, you know, so heavy. But for a guy like that, who's you know basically gonna, you know, take away Ville Leino's playing time, or it just didn't seem like it was worth it. You think they would maybe realize that, you know, maybe go after a Thomas Vokoun or something, or something where you can get a goalie. They need a goddamn goalie. Good for them. I'm glad they didn't make a good deal. And they gave up a draft pick. And, you know, I didn't make sense to me, you know. And there were people who are like 50-50 on the trade, and then most of the guys that know what they're talking about didn't like it. So if you agree with that trade, then you're not really smart. But if you dislike the trade, you're one of the elite. That's the way I look at it.
Now, speaking of trades... An old friend of this program got traded yesterday.
Who would that be?
One Aaron Voros.
Aaron Voros.
He's been exiled from Anaheim, the people's champ. Yeah, he was traded for a conditional 7th round pick.
Oh boy.
Conditional.
Wow. Now, we used to do a bit on this show, right? We have some new listeners and we have some old listeners. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Adam Sandler's Opera Man. He used to do on Saturday Night Live, but we used to have a certain person from this show, me do an Opera Man version of Aaron Voros. And Opera Man would say, "Voros, no moros, you scare of the bambinos." And we used to play it occasionally, and everybody used to get a big chuckle. And then people were telling me on the Twitter, the Twatter today, and I went on there because I, Big Deep asked me to go on the Twitter, the Twatter, and they were saying, "Voros, no scoros," and we were making all the whole things. And the, so, I don't know, do you have that old clip of "Voros, no moros" around?
No, that clip is on the Ranger Crisis switchboard. That was from your old show.
Okay.
We never had that one here. If you're going to do it, you'd have to write it now and do it live.
Oh.
You'd have to do it live.
Moros, no moros, you scare of the bambinos. Or something like that. A lot of echo. Sounded more opera-ish.
Yeah, it was like you were in a cathedral. Sorry. Which you probably were.
Yeah, I was. I was one of the original three tenors. I got the gut like Pavarotti, I'll tell you that much.
You and Placido Domingo.
Jesus. Yeah, so Voros is traded, and what was it, last week Hugh Jessamine was traded, and some other dopey Rangers from our past.
Al Montoya.
Al Montoya. I saw him between the pipes in a 7-goal.
The Buffalo game?
Yes.
Yeah. Talking about it. What'd you say? What'd you say before the flopsy mopsy? I mean, that guy was,
yeah.
He just seven. I mean, he just did flopping all over the ice, scrambling. And I guess they put him in I don't know. The Rangers were playing at the same time. I just caught the last 10 minutes of that game, but I guess he came in for whoever the Islanders starting goaltender is now. I don't know. Who's it? Jamie McClellan, Hextall, Kelly Rudy? Is it Kelly Rudy?
Yeah. I refer to Islander games now and anything to do with it as the Gong Show. That's what it really is. It's Chuck Barris is hosting a bunch of losers with no talent. I know Michael Grabner has got, 20-something goals, but they've gone through, 15 goalies. You know, something's always happening over there. I mean, there's something crazy, you know? And Wang, I don't know. It's just terrible. The Don Show is just, and the Devils, they're winning. That's going to be a tough game Friday night. Marty's out with a MCL sprain. So we'll see. No Marty will be the great Hedberg over there.
Hedberg, yeah. But I can't believe how well the Devils are playing. I mean, I knew they'd improve under Lemaire, but the tear that they're on is pretty amazing. If they'd have fired McLean in December, early December instead of Christmas, they'd be in the race. More than likely. I mean,
aren't they 11 points out of the playoff race? I
mean, 14 points out. But the other problem is not so much the points. You know, there's six teams ahead of them. You know, five teams. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five teams ahead of them. I mean, that's a lot of ground. That's a lot of teams to try and catapult.
Right.
I mean, look. They're playing 800 hockey right now. I don't think that's going to happen straight right through April. But still, a pretty incredible turnaround for them. But on the other hand, they blew their chance at a lottery pick.
Right.
So, they may wind up making this incredible run, fall short of the playoffs, wind up with a number, 12 or 13 pick, and then have nothing to, and then have blown the opportunity to get, big-time talent, who will then someday sign with the Rangers for a lot of money and then underperform and be ran out of town.
And, I love that. And even when it's, the Islanders as well. You know, they're coming up with these victories and everybody's, I mean, not that they're going to do anything with their draft picks anyway, but they're kind of, they really should have been tanked it after their 3-21. You know, right? I mean, after that, you just give up. And it's fact that the gong show keeps on rolling over there, so they're not going to give it up. But as far as our Rangers go, we got a lot to be concerned about. Some of these teams are playing well. Buffalo's playing well. Carolina's playing well. Atlanta's hanging in there. There's just certain teams I just don't think they're as good as the Rangers. Am I overrating the Rangers, folks? I think they're better than Atlanta. I think they're better than Montreal. I think they're better than Buffalo. I really do think that they're defensively, they've got it together. And I think TSN came out with their list of the top defenses in the league, top team defenses. And the Rangers were ranked 15th, which I thought was a little bit low. But maybe, again, I tend to overrate the Rangers a little bit because I am a fan. I'm going to try to pull up this list here and find out where it is here. But on team defense, I think the Rangers got a tight defense. They just got to find a way to score. And I really think, and even with the players they have, I find that the, you know, offensively, they have just as many weapons as these other teams. I don't know.
At least some of them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Atlanta. I mean, who do they have? Andrew Ladd, Bufflin. I mean, who are they bringing? Evander Kane? I mean, Evander Kane can't even stay healthy.
He was healthy enough against the Rangers the other night.
Oh, yeah, it was two goals. Yeah, that was a little too much. But I don't know. And Montreal, what do you guys think about Montreal? Do you think they're a real deal? I mean, we can't beat them for nothing. But do you see them as being better than the Rangers? I don't know.
The three teams that to me give the Rangers the fits are the Flyers, obviously, the Lightning, and Montreal, and that's because, from what I see, is because they're the teams that can move the puck up the ice the fastest. They have Tampa, all three of those teams, really, they're so fast at getting the puck up the ice, and that's why I think, at least from what I've seen, that's why the Rangers have struggled against them. They seem to have trouble with those teams. I know some people say, well, that, you know, they don't play bad against Tampa Bay, but and to me, look, when they play, the couple of times that they've played Tampa Bay this year, Tampa Bay looks like they're playing at 50 miles an hour and the Rangers are playing at 35 miles an hour. I don't know how else to describe it. They just, and the same thing with Montreal.
See, Tampa Bay is another team, Jim. Defensively and in goal, they got a 41-year-old goalie in Rollison. You know, Victor Hedman is not that great. They got Matthias Olin, who's older than my father, and probably just about as agile at this point. I know they got a couple other guys back there. I'm not sold on them defensively. Zen 27 brings it up. I mean, Martin St. Louis is one hell of a player.
Yeah.
And, they have some skill, you know, obviously with Stamkos and a couple other guys. But they look like one of those teams that was just flopped. Now, I got the rankings here of the top defensive teams ranked by the Hockey News, which, again, we always take a little grain of salt because the Hockey News, although we love having Hockey News beat reporters on and reporters, it's kind of taken a little bit of a, you know, it doesn't weigh as much as it once did, but it is the Hockey News nonetheless. They have the Flyers ranked at number one, best defense. Yeah, I mean, you got Chris Pronger, you got, who else they have over there? Who else? Moose DuPont. I don't know who Flyers are. I'm really out of touch there.
Pitkin.
I really
saw his name.
Who?
Is Pitkin on that? Is it, what the hell is the Swedish guy?
We really sound like we don't know what we're talking about.
Right? Yeah, oh, we don't. No. Oh, Teeminen. Teeminen. That's the guy I was trying
right.
to get. Teeminen. They got Pronger and Mezaros.
Right.
They do have some.
Oh,
Mezaros. Mezaros, whatever his name is. I don't have to know
winning,
his name.
Right. We don't have to know him. He's the guy who's turned around his game. I think he was with Ottawa or somebody, and they were like, wow, this guy's a bum, and he's really turned around his game. That much I know. the Canucks, the Penguins. Okay, I'm with you. The Kings. Yeah, I'm with the Kings. They got Jack Johnson, Doughty. The Hawks. Well, when you got Seabrook and Keith, you know, and whatever have you, that's pretty good. The Bruins, Chara. I don't know too many other Bruins guys. The Preds, well, they play a defensive system. The Caps, the Thrashers. All right, I know everybody's got, you know, loves Bufflin and they love Enstrom. Is that his name? Yeah, Tobias Enstrom.
Enstrom, Tobias Enstrom, yeah.
Right.
Who also made, another guy made his return just in time to play the Rangers. These guys always get healthy just in time to come play the Rangers.
The Sharks. I have a little problem with the Sharks. Who the Sharks got on that blue line? It's better than us. You know, or does it mean team defense? I don't know. The Yotes. The Coyotes. You see
the first place Coyotes.
That's right.
First place Coyotes. I'll tell you, there's 10 people out here going nuts about that. All 10 of them very excited. They're very excited.
Dallas Stars, and the Flames. How do the Calgary Flames have a better defense than the Rangers? I know the Flames are in a playoff slot right now. I think they have the AC in the West, which I think is outstanding because people were saying they were dead. And I'll go right to the bottom three, were the Islanders, Oilers, and Senators, and then Devils. I don't know. And you take these lists for what they are. You guys can debate them. I don't know.
I think we're better than 15th. Getting a bum deal there.
Yeah, I think so, too. I like that John Newman just only asked Jokinen about defense. Jokinen's hurt now. He's got a lower body injury.
He got hurt?
Why not? Yeah, he got hurt.
He was all over the place the other night in that 9-1 rout of the Avalanche. I was watching that game.
He had two assists
in the first period, I think.
And it says a little asterisk here right near the Coyotes. They got jumped 4 spots once they got Roosevelt. They lost 4 spots.
All right. You want to fit in a couple of phone calls before we get to the round table at 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
All right.
You look like stuff, my friend.
Yeah, I think so. Not knowing the Flyers' defense. That's all right. Who cares? Robbie, what's going on?
How are we doing, guys?
We are
doing
well. What's going on?
Like you said, I'm glad to see that the power play too well the other night. That was pretty good. But remember, though, it's not good because, you know, Crosby and Malkin were out. You know, I mean, the
so
people
what?
Are using that as an excuse.
It's not an excuse. So what?
Yeah,
it's not
I guess you're right.
They're out. It's not the Rangers' fault they're hurt. Screw them.
Yeah. It's true. It was 5-3, but one thing that really got me upset was the thing that how Avery is getting fed up with the referees of how like they. I know that the referees like kind of like didn't like him, but the fact that they say to him "F off" is just an absolute disgrace. I mean, he may be a pain sometimes, but the fact that he's still a professional ice hockey player, and he's more of an adult. They got to treat him with somewhat respect. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I heard about it. Who knows if it's true, Robbie? I mean, honestly.
I believe Avery.
Who knows? Look, he's not going to get the calls. He's never going to get the calls. He should be used to it by now. We should be used to it by now. It's not going to happen for him. He's not going to get the calls for as long as he's in the league.
I'm losing. I can't hear you. Losing.
Hello?
I'm here. I can't hear you, though.
Eddie, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh.
Was he calling for a speaking spell?
Who, Robbie?
What's going on here, Robbie?
Can you guys?
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Robbie, we lost.
Robbie, can you hear me? Robbie, can you hear me? Boom.
Sorry, Robbie. We'll catch you next week. Oh. All right.
What he's saying. You heard five whole blocks. He is with that boom.
All right. And I think there was somebody else on the switchboard that just dropped off when Robbie dropped off, so we'll have to call back in. All right, let's get we got the guys coming up at 9 o'clock. So let's bring Mandar in. Mandar, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. How's everybody tonight?
We're doing well.
How is the president of the Michael Dell Turnover Fan Club?
I'm not a fan.
I know.
We've noticed.
I know you're not a fan. We've noticed.
I don't understand, and I fear the coach has now gotten back into a mode that isn't going to work out very well. Now, yeah, he was great. For some reason, when they had their worst adversity, he was a good coach. He used the pieces right. He put them all together in the right spots, got the best out of everybody, and now... With basically everybody back, all of a sudden he doesn't have the answers anymore. And I love his, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know why Gabby isn't working out there. Before last game, I don't know why the power play's not working. He's reverting back to old habits, and that's worrying me right now.
Well, you know what else, too? I saw this. I don't know if you saw this the other day, Mandar, but I honestly thought of you immediately when I read this. When they were trying to – this was probably last week, maybe even before our last show, when they were still working on the power play and they went and talked to the assistant coach, maybe Schoenfeld or Sullivan or something, came to Tortorella and told him that Derek Stepan had played the point in college, and Tortorella didn't know that. And I thought that was weird. Like, how do you know – how do you not know what your players can and can't do, right? Did you see that?
I heard that. It's interesting. He seems a little out of touch at times. You can't complain about what he's done with the young players this year, especially with all the adversity. And before this losing streak, yeah, everybody was touting him for the coach of the year. And then we get everybody back, and how does it blow up? You would figure that it would only get better. Instead, the pieces aren't working out for him. I mean, I don't think that we miss Fedotenko that badly. But I think they just had to get the ship righted. They've had a lot of time off, which I don't know if that's good. When they were playing games, 5 games in 8 nights, they were being successful. Now they've had a couple of long layovers after the All-Star break and now they haven't been hitting their stride. So hopefully, you know, the bad part of the season's behind them. Like I said last week, it's the dog days of February are behind them, and now they can go ahead and be that lunch pail, you know, team that works hard and creates the chances, and, you know, you never feel like you're out of the game.
Well, Tortorella was also saying that, you know, when they play a lot of games on top of each other like they had, they don't have much time to practice, and they don't get a lot of time to – and they get into sloppy habits and things like that. And so hopefully, you know, and he says that it's good when they have a few days off like this and they can get some practice in and work on some things. Now, of course, that all goes right down the toilet tomorrow night if they come out and fall behind 2-0 the first six minutes of the first period, and he's got to call a timeout again to wake them up. But
that's on him. You can't be telling your the press or whoever we weren't ready to play in the first 5 minutes, because who's that on? The players
right.
have to perform, but coming out of the gate. You got to be that. That's got to be a coaching thing. That's got to be something that you do, and you recognize, and you set the tone early at home. They haven't been doing that. They play a better home game on the road than they do at home. You know what I mean with that. And
right.
What really annoyed me about that Atlanta game was that they sat back in the third. They got the 2-1 lead. They sat back. He didn't use the timeout. He was saving it then. You were getting dominated. They were backing in the zone. They were letting them come over in waves. I'm not even going to go into the stupid penalty and the power play and all his other obvious talents. But I think that he's getting to the point now where he has tools and he doesn't know what to do with them. It was easy when they were all injured because you could just plug in minor league guys in spots that were obvious, but now you've got a lot of pieces, and I don't think he really knows what to do with them.
I agree. I think he doesn't, with all the players coming back, he still hasn't adjusted to what roles players, it just seems he's, and going back to what you said initially, he doesn't seem in tune with the players he has. I mean, you think you would sit down with a guy before the season, he makes the team, okay, what, you know, Derek, or have people that do this for you. Well, Derek's played some point. Didn't they say Volsky played the point too in juniors? I'm not so happy as a Rangers fan. I don't get confidence from a guy, well, he played the point in juniors. And it's cool, you know what I'm saying? A lot of things happen in juniors you don't do in the NHL level that you're not capable of doing. And when I hear things like this, I get worried. Now, you know, kudos to him for doing a good job. And as you brought up on an earlier show, Mando, which I really thought was a great point, I don't want to see Volsky and Zuccarello at the point. They're the only guys who seem to have some kind of offensive hands in front of that net.
Exactly.
I want them shooting. I don't want them passing. So, you know, I could see, you know, I see what you're saying. Tortorella doesn't seem to know at times what he has, how to use it, when to use it. But if I can just continue on this Tortorella thing, I also think he never takes any culpability. And as a coach, sometimes you have to do that to take the pressure off guys, or maybe it's your fault. And it never seems to be his fault. And even in the Pittsburgh game, I watched the post game, and the Rangers played really well, especially when they killed that four-minute power play when Sauer took that double minor for high sticking. He's like, we just can't think. Michael Sauer, you know, made a mistake there, and he also alluded to another person taking a penalty in that game. It's almost like he wants perfection out of these guys, and these things happen. Inadvertent high sticks happen. You know, and it's almost like you've got this perfection complex, and everybody is, you know, they're detrimental to the game if they lose, and they're focused upon. You know, you cannot play mistake-free hockey. You're going to take stupid penalties. You try to stay away from them, inadvertent penalties. And I just feel like when the Rangers start losing, he makes a little bit personal on the guys, and our guys got to step up. And I just don't see other coaches doing that. Now, maybe I got to take the good with the bad with the good. But again, you're right. I think Post, when he's getting all these guys healthy, he's had a little bit of trouble gauging who fits where. And you know, it's almost like when he has an injury, maybe it makes it easier for him, you know, to slot guys.
Right, because they're going to be in spots in that specific area that they were missing. I mean, we had 6-7 regulars out of the lineup. Brought in the Hartford guys that play those exact same positions, they were probably familiar with each other a lot of the time anyway because they were playing together down in, you know, in Hartford. But, he's not the guy that needs to go ahead and get a star player motivated. That's why I just don't like what he's done with Gavrik while Gavrik's had a bad year. You know, like I said, benching the guy, I'd give a guy like that, he's your horse, you got to ride him, he's a sniper, regardless of the year that he's having at this time. And you got to put him out there more, but he has his target. Somebody mentioned in the chat room before said a funny comment about Emminger, but it's true. Emminger, he wasn't really Emminger's fault on the goal. He got hit in the side where the puck went in the net. He played 4 minutes. You had a defenseman take a double minor. His ass was nailed to the bench for the second and third periods. So basically you're going with four defensemen for a lot of that time. You know, because Gilroy doesn't get a whole bunch of ice time either. What kind of sense is that? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Emminger wasn't playing all that bad. All right, maybe he had a couple of bad games before the break. You put Delzato in there, and that just blew up in everybody's faces. And then he brings it back in. The guy, you know, you can't blame him on the goal. Deflected in off of him. If you're going to do that, then basically every Ranger, you know, on the roster, to get benched for a goal going in off of them, where Brian Leetch never would have had any time, knowing the Tortorella.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And all of a sudden that happens, and that's it. You're sat on the bench for to the detriment of the team, because like you said, Sauer's off on a 4 minute minor. So basically, you're not playing Gilroy to kill penalties, and you've benched Emminger. So basically, you had three guys killing a 4 minute power play. How many times? And even the stupid Pittsburgh announcers could realize how tired Staal was. He couldn't even move. Why was that? Because he's playing three defensemen killing a 4 minute penalty. So
yeah,
it's So, I mean, thank goodness it worked, but that was, I didn't think that was a great coaching maneuver there, and I don't think Emminger is going to be a detriment on a penalty kill. So, you know, and then of course, you know, he's got his butt boy back there in for the game tomorrow back on defense.
Butt boy? The guy, he has a new butt every game.
Oh, yeah.
He's
got that love-hate thing going on.
Oh, it's a love-hate thing going on.
Yeah, but it's always love for him, though, for some reason.
I don't think he's one of his favorites. I think Tortorello really loves Zuccarello and Stepan. That's the guys. And I think they're kind of, listen, I when it comes to MDZ, I think you got to send the guy down. The guy's got to improve his game. He's not going to prove it at the NHL level. And I know you don't think he's going to improve, but still.
Well, my reasoning on that is real simple. It's just like, you know, all right, other players have a second-year slump. Not all of them do. Some of them do. I mean, everybody would love to have a second year like Stamkos had, right? I mean, that would be wonderful. But you know what? When you see a guy have a sophomore slump, like a Bogosian in Atlanta, what you see in there with these guys is, all right, they're not playing well like Tyler Myers. But you know what? They're out there and you still see something in them. They're not putting up the points maybe like they were the past years, or maybe they're making a couple of bad passes here and there. But they're not their whole game doesn't tank. And they're not a detriment to the team every time
right.
They're out there. You still see something in them. There's something in there you can see. The problem with Delzato, I don't see anything there. I saw first half of last year, he made the home run passes. Gabrick was on a scoring tear the first half of last year. NHL scouts then got tapes and they went to the games. They said, hey, cut off the outlet pass. This guy's game goes to nothing. So I saw the stat. In the first half of last year, he had 22 points. Last half of last year, he had 15 points. Ended up a minus 20. This year, he still has, I think, only two more even strength points in the entire year than Bugard. I mean, how ridiculous is this? So I'm looking for that. I'm looking for something in Delzato's game on the ice. Show me at least some breakout speed. I don't see it. Show me your positioning is something good on the ice. Don't see it. Show me you're getting physical like you tried to do last year. I don't see it. So the reason I'm so down on him is I don't see, you know, even though he's having a down year, I don't see anything sparking there that is going to, that says, you know what, I think this guy's got a great future. We want him to have a great future because we want to see a power play quarterback that I don't think is there.
See, I just think at this point he needs to go back to Hartford and they need to tear him down and build him all the way back up. I mean, did you see the look? Did you see the look on his face the other night on the bench after Torts reamed into him? He looked absolutely shattered.
Yeah.
He looked like he lost his dog, his best friend, and his girlfriend all at the same time. I mean, he was. Like I said, I didn't have a problem with Torts going. I just felt bad for Delzato because he looked absolutely. And he's sitting there like looking at. I forget who was sitting next to him, but he's looking at him like just. Completely blank. I mean, I'm like, Jesus.
Well, how bad do you think he was praying in the penalty box after he took the penalty in the tie game that late? How bad is he praying in that penalty box that they kill it off? And when it doesn't happen, he knows as soon as he gets out of that box what's coming for him.
He's got to walk the green mile.
Exactly. But you know what I fear with him, though? And this is my fear what they're going to do, because they're not going to send him down at this point anyway. Maybe something happens before the deadline. I'm not even saying to trade him, but just something that pushes him back to Hartford. But my problem is, and what my fear is that, and those of us remember when Nick Fatiu was a Ranger, and you'll see my connection here in a second. Nicky was what he was. He was, you know, a fighter, a spirit guy, but he had that occasional, you know, offense, right? He had that the unbelievable rish. I remember Eddie, and I used to love Jim Gordon, Bill Chadwick, the world's best ever hockey announcers. When Fatiu would make a pass and connect on a pass, it was like the most incredible thing ever done. It was like, oh, what a wonderful, it was a routine play by a guy you wouldn't expect it from. And so then they laud him for it. So I'm fearing that, let's say Delzato plays tomorrow and he scores a goal or he gets an assist or two. All of a sudden, he's the wunderkind again. He's the guy. He's going to be we'll look at a game that he has. This is what he can do. And I worry about that because I think one game like that, but it won't be a consistent effort like that if he even has it in him.
Well, I mean, this is my feeling, I think. And I'm definitely a lot more high on Michael Delzato than you are. You completely, you know, you've written him off. You don't see the talent there. I thought the first half of last year he was throwing the hip check, the body check. He had bad positional issues. He did do that home run pass, but he was able to generate something on the power plays. I saw he making good decisions and stuff. Problem with him is he came out of juniors, I think, too early. He needed that other year. The guy, from what we heard, had a little bit of maturity issues, and they're coming up. You know, Tortorella's talked about him as far as the social calendar goes. I feel the same thing about Evgeny Grachev, another guy, but that was his decision to come out of juniors a year earlier. I think it stunted his progress. And now you're going to be they're going to have the same situation with Chris Kreider next year, who won MVP of the Beanpot tournament. About him, the Rangers seem to want him to come out next year, and he's still got another year of college to go. And I really believe that these guys need that extra year. I see no reason to rush these guys. Let's take it slow. I know we want a speedy left wing center and Chris Kreider. I know we want to see the speed, but let them play it out. Put them in Hartford. Now, I don't know if it's because of the cap reasons and the albatrosses we were with the Roosevelt and the Drury and the Gomez contracts that we had to rush these guys along. But I really believe that at 20 years old, I cannot evaluate a guy fully and tell you his career, how it's going to end up. I see what you see. I see Michael Delzato is a very inconsistent player. He'll give you a one and a half periods of good hockey. You'll be like, wow, he's doing good tonight, and then he just blows up, like we saw in the Atlantic game. So that's my take on Michael Delzato, and I think the Rangers should be very prudent in not bringing these guys in too early. Or if you're going to do it, put him in Hartford. Don't throw him right into the NHL. I mean, and I agree with a lot of points, the negatives on Michael Delzato, but at 20 years old, again, he could be a 20-year-old bust. He may not have any future. I don't know. But to trade him, I don't think, what are you going to get for him anyway at this
point?
Right,
well, you don't trade him now because you don't trade low. I mean, his value is next to nothing, so you'd be worthless to trade him right now. They shouldn't even entertain thoughts of trading him now unless somebody's going to offer you something ridiculous for him then, obviously. But at this point, you're not. What can you expect value-wise to get back? You said a name last week, I remember, and it's Brian Fogarty. Remember Brian Fogarty from his days, and the guy scored 150 points, I think, 1 year in juniors. The guy was amazing, was going to be the next coming, and just totally flamed out. I think he had some personal issues too, right? But
He they used to call him tipsy in juniors because he had a bad drinking problem. But I'm not saying that Michael has a drinking problem, but from what, you know, he may have some other issues, like, you know, he likes to stay out. New York is a very enticing place, you know, whatever. It just seems like what they're trying to teach him is not getting through to him. I think the best thing is to send him down before, you know, if the pitchforks and shovels come out by the MSG crowd and they start storming Madison Square Garden. That's what's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen to him.
All right, listen, Mandar, I'm going to cut you off so we can bring in our round table. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, cool.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Take care, Mando.
All right. We got two calls that are still waiting on hold, 847-207 and 516-708. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to have to ask you to call in again next week. I just don't think we're going to have time to get to you, and I want to get everybody brought in. So I apologize. Call us again next week, and I promise I'll put you guys right on first thing, okay? So I'm going to, without further ado, I'm going to bring in, let's see, first up, we have from the Rangers Tribune and Blue Shirt Banner, we have Nick. Good evening, Nick. How are you?
What's up, guys?
How are you? Good. Doing good? Doing good? All right. And then from the New York Rangers blog, we have Kevin. Kevin, how are you? Good evening. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio.
Yeah, Maddie, what's going on? How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing well.
Doing,
appreciate you being here. Next, we have...
Nick?
Let's see. We have now. I'm going to give this guy a little bit of an introduction because this is his first call in as well. But this is Mike. He's known as M. Leach, and I got to tell you, Eddie, this guy, he's like Mandar when it comes to watching a game because he sees things that I don't see. And like I could watch the play 100 times and I don't see it. Like we'll be talking in a game thread. He's always in a game thread, and I'll say something like, "Oh, it looked like Girardi fell down on the play." Or, you know, Girardi, like, lost track of his man or something. And Mike will come back with, well, Girardi felt lost his man because Stahl was over here doing this, and Gabrick missed the pass coming across ice from this guy, and Hank had the wrong size stick in his hand, and he had an extra. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But anyway, Mike, welcome to the program. We appreciate you being here with us tonight.
Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
All right, we're doing well.
I want to say something about Mike. I think I know his secret. It's called TiVo.
No, he knows it instantly.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he knows instantly. He can break down the entire play for you.
Oh,
no, because otherwise I would say, oh, you're just DVRing it. But no, he can break down the play for you. I mean, he's better than Joe Mick. He really is. All right. And then that's high praise, my friend. And then from the five-hole blog, we have Eric. Eric, how are you? Good evening. Eric, are you there?
In the chat room.
Hello.
Eric, there you are. Good evening. Welcome to Blue Shirt Band of Radio. And I think, even though he didn't give me, I think this might be Dave. Dave, is that you?
Did you disconnect me last time?
I did, because I didn't know that was your phone number, because you didn't respond to me on the message I sent you that said, give me your phone number. Your response was sell. Oh, thanks.
Actually, first off, A, you do have my cell phone number, and B, I texted you back around 25 minutes ago saying I lied, I'm calling from 516-708.
Oh, well, I never got either one of those messages. Blame it on T-Mobile.
Yeah, and then I said tell your BBM to work, because apparently BBM is an epic fail right now.
I'm getting rid of my BlackBerry in a couple weeks anyway. I think I've had it with the damn thing. Anyway, good evening, gentlemen, and welcome all of you to Blue Shirt Band Radio. We appreciate you guys being here. What we're going to do is we got a bunch of questions we'll throw out. And instead of asking a question and going through each all five of your answers, I think that would get a little tedious. So what I'll do is I'll throw out a question. I'll ask maybe two of you the question and let you guys give your answers. And then we'll come up with a different question and we'll go to a couple other guys and so forth. And if you guys have questions you want to throw out there, go right ahead. And, yeah, we'll just have some fun and debate and everything. So I'm just watching. Sorry, I apologize. I was trying to follow the chat room as well. All right, so why don't we start with the new guys on the block here. We'll go to, since Nick and Dave are veterans of the program, we'll start with Kevin. Kevin, why don't you tell us what's the biggest surprise for you so far this season with the Rangers?
Biggest surprise? Well, I was going to say Emminger, but he's sort of fallen off there a little bit. I think he's in Fortress, his doghouse a bit, but I think just the rookies playing as well as they have all year. Stepan and now McGee's back up, and I've just been really impressed with the way that they've been able to come in here and really impress. Even MDA has come up, and he struggled a little bit now, but really impressed. They've been picking up the slack with all the injuries, so to me, definitely the rookies.
Okay, and somebody fell off the switchboard. I think it was Mike. Mike fell off the switchboard, which figures because I was going to go to him next. All right, so Eric, You'll fill in for Mike on this one. What's been the biggest surprise for you so far this year?
I've got to say Brian Boyle. I mean, coming in here scoring 19 goals after having 12 in his last three seasons.
Yeah, I think I agree with that too. That's the one good thing about this team so far this year. There's been a lot of pleasant surprises. You know, definitely Boyle goes along with that as well as. You know, as I said, with the rookies and even Emminger until recently, so you know, a lot of positive stuff I think with the Ravens, despite the losing streak they just had, and thankfully they had a win the other night against the Penguins B team. But you know, lots of positive stuff right now with the team.
All right, absolutely, I agree. All right, I see we got Mike. You back?
Yeah.
Okay. No, we lost you there for a minute. Did I hang up on you accidentally, or did you?
Yeah, I think so. I think you hung up.
Oh, I apologize.
Seems to be a habit of yours, Jim.
I hung up on you on purpose, Dave, because I didn't know who you were.
Well, I mean, generally you hang up on me on purpose anyway, so I'll let you slide on that one.
Well, that's because how many times have you called in just to listen and I pick up on you and you go, I'm eating dinner right now?
I'm actually eating dinner right now, to tell you the truth.
All right, so we'll let you eat for a minute and we'll go to Mike. Mike, let's see. I'm scrolling through my questions here. Evgeny Grachev, he's been a big debating point on the show. Do you still see, is he still part of the Rangers' future, do you think?
I think there's still potential there, but he's rapidly getting passed by different prospects. I think you have next year, if Kreider signs, he's obviously ahead of him. I think Carl Hagelin has a more versatile game than Grachev does at the moment, so he's probably ahead of him. So he's falling down the chart, but he's shown some more consistency for the Whale this month, at least.
Okay, see, I knew that'd be a good question to ask you because you pay more attention to the Whale than probably just about anybody. Nick, how about you? Evgeny Grachev, is he still part of the Rangers' future?
I think he is, but he played so well with Brampton in the OHL, and I think he played with Duchesne, actually, and there's so much hope for them coming in, and then last year it took him a while to adjust in the AHL. But supposedly this year he's been scoring more. But like Mike said, he's getting passed in the ranks, especially with Kreider now. He steered Tortorella's recent quote before urging to get Kreider up. And then you have guys like Newberry filling in spots who could play center and wing. So I think he's definitely getting passed up. But if he continues to score and play well, he's still definitely part of the future.
I just want to add on that, Jim. I think Laurie had an interview up with him saying that he had a little bit of trouble focusing on the game because he wasn't being used on the penalty kill, and then all of a sudden he was used on the penalty kill, and all that coincided with his scoring streak that he's been going on. So the kid's 20 years old, Focus is going to be an issue for 20-year-olds.
And bigger kids take longer to develop.
What was that, Mike?
The bigger prospects take longer to develop. You have Boyle, who's now 26, before he did anything.
And Chara was like, Chara was 25 before he turned into anything decent.
Absolutely true. All right, let's see. How about we'll go to Eric on this. Actually, Dave, are you ready to take a question?
Yep, I'm good.
All right.
Can I actually just add something?
Sure.
You guys are saying that Chara wasn't anything good until he was 25. Maybe it's time we give Delgado a little bit of a break.
Hey, I've been posting saying, let's give Delgado a break. All right, the kid's 20, can't even buy a beer yet.
And I'd like to point out I'm wearing my Delgado shirt right now.
Delgado may not be able to buy a beer, but I think he's had plenty of them over his time the last couple of years running around New York City.
Eddie had pictures of him on Ranger Crisis drinking a beer, didn't you, Eddie?
Yeah. Him in one of the dorm parties there.
And I think everybody...
Oh, I saw that up at B.C.
Everybody made fun of him because he was
BC,
drinking, like, natural ice or something.
Yeah.
That was fun. Crappy beer.
Yeah, wasn't there also some pictures of him up in Montreal or something?
There might have been. It's legal. I think it's the drinking age is 18 up there, isn't it?
I think that's Toronto.
Oh. Oh, that would explain Cutter. Anyway. All right. And Nick, I just think Delzato, I still have hope for Delzato. I just think he needs to go back to Hartford and start over.
Yeah, I agree. He definitely needs more time at Hartford. And like you said earlier, when Tortorella yelled at him, he was just kind of like deer in headlights. But I don't understand. Tortorella had such a love for Emminger in the beginning of the year, and we couldn't understand why he was in the lineup. Then we start to get used to him. He's playing well, and then now all of a sudden he's a healthy scratch every night. He plays one game. He was benched in the third period, and now he's out of the lineup again. So I don't understand that.
Yeah. Well, one of my questions, and I'm actually going to throw this. I'm not even going to ask this one because I think we've all pretty much answered it. I think we're all on the same page. Are the Rangers handling Michael Delzato correctly? And I think it sounds like we're pretty much all in agreement that they're not.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Sure. All right. So I'm going to ask Eric this question. We'll go to Eric and then Mike, you can answer this one. Or actually, Kevin, you can answer this one after Eric. Chris Drury. Is Chris Drury back with the Rangers next season?
We going to meet first?
Yeah, you can go first.
I honestly don't know. I think that it's very likely that they might buy him out. He's declined so far in his last couple seasons with the Rangers. And it just doesn't seem to work. If they want to make a play for Richards, they're going to have to make some room somehow in the cap. And the only way I can see them doing that is by buying out Drury.
Now, I'll follow that up with another question, because there's some people, and I think Dave, you might even be one of them, seems to think that he might take the Naslund route and just retire.
Yep. Well, it depends on what's going on with his knee. I mean, it seems like it's one of those Prosper things where they have no idea what's wrong with it. So I think he's going to retire.
Okay.
See, I don't think he's going to do that. He doesn't have it's not like he has a team lined up to play for back home in Trumbull, Connecticut. And
he's got a pizza place.
He's got a Little League team.
He's got a pizza.
He doesn't have seven children to go home to and hang out with. I mean, it's a completely different situation.
Wait, Naslund has seven kids?
Something. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I'm mixing up him and...
For Marty?
What's that guy's name? The one that plays center for Jager?
Nylander?
Nylander?
Yes, Nylander.
He had seven kids?
He has a whole baseball team.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Drury's got to coach him in Little League then.
There you go. And he's got his pizza place to run. Kevin, how about you? We didn't let you answer there. What are your thoughts on Drury for next season?
I don't necessarily think I want him back. But I don't see him, depending on the knee, obviously. I don't know. I think he's too proud to retire right now. I think that he'll give it one last go. I mean, despite the contract, I do think there's still a role for him on the team. I would like, actually, to see him step up and maybe step down from being a captain over the offseason and maybe hand it to Callahan, which I'd like to see most of all. I don't see the Rangers buying him out. I think they have too much respect for him and wouldn't do that to him. So I actually do see him end up coming back, obviously depending on the knee. If the knee is still pretty messed up, maybe he does still go to the retirement route. But for some reason, I see him coming back next year.
Okay. And since you mentioned the captaincy, that's another one of my questions. This one, I'll go right down the list. Since everybody seems to think it's either Dubinsky or Callahan, Nick, who's your next captain of the Rangers, Dubinsky or Callahan? Or somebody else?
Definitely Callahan, and then give the ace to Stahl and Dubinsky.
Okay. Kevin?
Ditto. I agree.
Dave?
Same thing. I'm going to be unoriginal.
How about you, Mike?
Yep, same thing.
Same thing. Eddie wants Dubinsky as captain. He made the argument a couple weeks ago, right, Eddie? You'd prefer to see Dubinsky in there?
I see Dubinsky as he seems to be the emotional guy, the more fiery of the two, although Callie embodies everything you want as a Ranger. I mean, you want all of it. So I wouldn't be disappointed either way. I mean, they're really two heart and soul guys, and we all know the story about Dubinsky painting the logo, hand-painting it when he first came to the Ranger, you know. All he wanted to be is a Ranger, and Callahan certainly does it all. I like a little fiery guy. I like a guy who chirps and gets in other people's faces. I would not be disappointed. I think the guys were pretty much on target of how I think it's going to go. And probably know Callahan, Stahl, and Dubinsky.
Okay. All right. Now we'll go. First, we'll go to Mike on this one. Rangers. Are they buyers at the deadline? I know we had this conversation earlier on Blue Shirt Banner, but I'm asking anyway.
I think they will buy. I don't think they're going to buy big, though. I think they'll just tinker.
Maybe like another veteran defenseman type,
yeah,
but
like
not somebody like a...
Not a Caverley, maybe like a depth defenseman or maybe McCabe would probably be the biggest name I think they would go after on defense.
Okay. How about Dave, what do you think?
Brian McCabe for Kondratek in a second. Calling it right now.
Brian McCabe for Kondratek and a second-round pick.
Yep.
Second-round pick. All right.
Washington's second-round pick. We have two of them. And, you know, as much as everybody's in love with Kondratek, and I'm not looking at the chat room, but I'm assuming it's going nuts at me saying Kondratek. But you know what? We have our defense minus Emminger is under 25, and minus Gilroy, sorry. You know, we have so many defensemen, it's not really necessary to keep all of them. Use them to get a piece that we need.
Would you be upset if it was Valentenko going that way instead of Kondratek?
Not necessarily. I know that everybody's in love with his slap shot, but you know what? Unless Kota Leak had a slap shot too, and he almost hit me in 400, you know, with his slap shot. So, you know, a slap shot means nothing.
I think he's only got a couple goals down in Connecticut. So, I mean, I haven't seen enough of him. I saw him in preseason look good, but
yeah, if he hits the net with a slap shot, he's going to be a great defenseman. But he's very raw. He has a great slap shot, but he has to hit the net. I mean, there's so many what ifs, and he's not even in the top 10 prospects on hockey's future.
Okay, well, I think Valentino also brings kind of a physical presence. He looked pretty physical when I saw him. He has no problem defending that goal in front of the crease. Well, I just was interested to see to get your take on, you know.
Same with
Sauer.
Sauer and McDonough have made Valentenko expendable.
You can fix anything in the workshop.
What is that?
I think somebody's working at Home Depot over there. I mean, what's going on?
Somebody's watching this old house while they're on the show.
Sorry, guys. I'm in my basement playing my kids' toys.
Nice. All right, let's go to... There, nice. All right, let's go to Nick. Do you think the Rangers are buyers at the deadline?
Yeah, definitely buyers. Buy small, though, because, I mean, what room do they have? And it's definitely going to be like, you know, to compare a few years ago when they went out and got Derek Moore, something like that, defenseman. They said McCabe. I'd love to have McCabe. The other name going around was Cabrillet, and I know Cabrillet said the Rangers is supposedly one of the teams he'll waive his no-trade clause for. But that's a steep price that you'd have to pay for him.
The thing I like about McCabe is that his contract expires at the end of this season, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, to me, that's a huge advantage for getting McCabe. That he can still, and he's still putting up.
Too.
Does it?
Yeah.
I thought he had for a year. No?
Yeah, they both did. Yeah.
No,
so does Eric Brewers.
The problem with McCabe, though, is that he said he doesn't want to leave Florida.
Yeah, he also is drinking his milk
playing in front of seven,
right
now. That is a problem. He doesn't want to leave Florida. That's the problem.
He also
broke his jaw. 7,000 people. Yeah, but he's back next week or something, isn't he, from that?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think he's supposed to be back this week.
Yeah, I thought I read that on him the other day. All right, let's go to Eric. Eric is we've talked a lot about John Tortorella so far in the first half of the show about things that have been going on lately with Tortorella. Do you think Tortorella is he a candidate for Coach of the Year? And if he is, why? And if he's not, why not?
I think he was before the Rangers went on this 6-game losing streak and has been awful since 2011 started. He can't seem to get a hold of his team right now. They come out weak in the first period. They come out sleeping, basically. I mean, I guess he could still be, like, up there in the top 10 at this point, but unless the Rangers really have a strong showing the rest of the year, I don't think he'd even make the top 5.
Okay. Kevin, do you think John Tortorella is a Coach of the Year candidate?
Ah, I got to agree right there. He was, but he's falling off real quick. I've been, especially with the, and we were talking about it before, just his handling of Delzato, at least for me, has really been making me angry, to put it mildly. Just really, I think, baffling, you know, just bungling that right now. And, you know, just not really getting the team to play that they to play the way they were, integrating the guys coming in who are healthy, just really not getting them on the same page. So, you know, we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks while those guys hopefully, you know, mesh and get used to each other again and, you know, get them on the right track. But he's slipping a little bit. I don't know what it is. Every button he pushed in the first half of the year was came up bases, but right now it's not working for him. He's got to figure it out again.
Okay. Eddie, you have a question you want to throw out?
Yeah, I wanted to get the guys. I don't know. You could pick the two guys, but what do you think about Marty Biron's play this year so far? He's played well, but in the back of my mind, I still have my reservations about him. How do you guys think? Perhaps how he's played so far and how he will play when maybe it comes down to a crunch time, say Henrik needs a rest or Henrik gets hurt.
We'll let Mike go first on this one. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I think you have to be pleased with the way Biron's played. You couldn't have expected him to play this well. He's only really had maybe one or two bad outings all year. But I still think as much as they talk about giving Hank more rest, when you come down to the last 15 games, Lundqvist is going to play at least 14 of them. And that's just the way they're going to, especially if the race is as tight as it is right now.
Okay. And then how about Nick?
I love Marty Biron. I know when they first acquired him, he had a horrible year with the Islanders last year, and people were iffy, but Benoit Allaire did an awesome job with him to turn his team around. And also, in addition to playing well, he's such a great personality. Like I was saying in a chat room not too long ago, the guys, when Biron's bumped in the crease, the guys are all over that player in seconds. Like, they'll do anything for Biron. They'll throw their life on the line for that guy. And he's such a great personality having the lineup. So I think it was a great pickup I did.
Okay. You got another one, Eddie?
Sure. I got a million of them. I can shoot questions all night long like ping pong out of my vagina. All right.
Oh, that's a pleasure.
That's a disturbing image.
Don't worry. Look
Isn't
up,
this a TG
up,
show?
No. Are you kidding me? Have you ever listened to this show? All right. Now, what I wanted to ask you guys, how about this? We know what's going to come the trading deadline. The last 2 years, it's been kind of a dud. Wouldn't you guys agree on that? And do you think it's going to be a lot of moves this trading deadline? And again, do you maybe as far as the Rangers, do you want to see him make a lot of moves, or do you want him just to stay pat and stay the course? And like some person said in the chat room, let's just get into the playoffs and you know, lose the first round and get out. I mean, what do you guys think? Jim, could you moderate this dissertation?
I'm sorry. I forgot that you didn't know who to pick out. Well, we'll start with Dave.
Do I think there's going to be a lot of movement at the deadline? Not until Caberly. What is that background noise?
That's the ping pong balls.
Right. Sorry about that.
I have no idea.
I think there's going to be movement once Caberle gets dealt, if he ever gets dealt. But the Rangers, they're going to make – the biggest move they would make would be for McCabe. They're not going to get Brad Richards. You know, everybody has this pipe dream for him. He's not coming until next summer. And the Rangers are better off keeping all their roster players. You know, if they're going to make a move, deal from, you know, number 11 and down on the prospect list, not including Chad Johnson. He's number 7. You can toss him in any deal. But, you know, stay the course. You know, Sather has shown that post-lockout he's been very good if you keep his checkbook closed. So just let him stay the course, keep the youth, and just – keep the core youth and go from there.
All right. How about Eric? Same question.
Well, if you look at the league as a whole, there haven't really been any blockbuster trades really in the last few years since the salary cap came into play. And I think it's because of the salary caps, and it's harder to move a player like Richards at the deadline because he's getting almost $8 million right now. So, I mean, I don't think that you're going to get a huge, a really big-name player at the deadline. No, not really. It's probably just going to be like a depth guy for a draft pick or something.
Okay. I'm going to throw a question out here since Dave brought his name up. And since Dave said they're not getting him, I'll just cut off the first half of the question and I'll just say, Brad, you want Brad Richards on this team next season? And I'll go to Nick.
Yes, I would. They'd have to pay a lot because I know Dallas is going to put in a big bid to keep him. And I know that they have new ownership and everything over there. They're going to want to keep him, but, I mean, putting him with Gabrick, that could be Gabrick's spark right there because I don't know if you guys watched the Versus game when we played Detroit. They were right on when they said that Gabrick is a player that you get the puck in the offensive zone. He's not necessarily the player that carries it in. Someone needs to get it to him, and then he works his magic in the offensive zone. And right now, he doesn't really have that. And obviously, Richard can bring that, and he can score goals. So I'd love to have him on the team, but it's just a matter of outfitting Dallas for him.
All right. Quick score update. Kings and Blue Jackets 3-3 going in overtime. Philly over Florida 3-0 in the third period. And I don't know where the Devils score. They took there it is. Devils beat Carolina 3-2.
Wow.
So there you go. All right.
Now,
oh, go ahead, Eddie.
I guess I wanted to ask you. I mean, you guys. Who would you hate more to see go on a trade at this point? I'll give you three guys. I'll give you three prospects. Let's kind of go back to the other question. I don't know if I want to ask this one. Who do you think? I mean, what do you think about Brian Boyle? We all know he scores. We all know there's been some controversy, not controversy, but a lot of thought about him being on the power play. Do you guys feel it essential that Brian Boyle plays the power play, especially since, you know, he's not really an assist machine, but he does kind of present a force if he heads in front of that net? What do you guys think about that? Or do you think getting guys in front of the net is a little bit overrated and kind of simplistic way to remedy the power play, even though it did work pretty well in the last game?
Do we know whose phone that is making all that noise? The rustling and everything?
I think it's somebody just breathing into the phone.
Okay. I'm not sure. It's a little hard to hear everybody with that noise. So if whoever...
My phone's sitting on my desk right now, so it's not me.
Okay. Okay. It's gone now, so that's better. All right. Okay. I apologize. Sorry, everybody in the chat room was kind of complaining to me, so I had to just jump in there for a second.
Well, how about my goddamn question? Anybody gonna answer it?
What was the question?
Yeah, I would stick Boyle in front of the net.
Okay. I mean, do you think Brian Boyle needs to be on the power play? I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, he's playing shorthanded. He's playing even strength. I mean, he's going to play power play. Do you think Torts maybe relies on that Trust and Boyle combo a little bit too much? And pick a person, Jimmy. Let's get this show chance back up and back up.
Let's go to Eric. Go ahead, Eric.
Should Boyle be on the power play? Sure, why not? He scored a power play goal Sunday, didn't he? Right? So it was a deflection. He went hard to the net.
All right.
And we need guys going hard to the net. It's like they have this
stigma against going to the net and trying to play tough, go to the net and put the puck in the net. Ah, I don't really know what to say anymore about this.
That's all I got to say about that. Right. How about you, Kevin? We haven't heard from you in a while.
So keep the knives away from Erica. The guy's going to slit his wrist. 100%. Put Boyle in front of the net. I've been begging for them to do that more. Big body. That's the one thing the Rangers never, ever, ever do is put traffic in front of the net. The goalies are seeing the pucks all day long, every game. You know, they're putting the Detroit game is a perfect example. You know, Howard had, 35 saves. You think the guy had an amazing game, but, I could have made those saves. So putting him in front, causing havoc, I think would be great. You saw it the other day with the tip. I think earlier in the year they had him on the power play in front. Again, a tip. I think he'd be perfect. He's what they're missing on the power play. I mean, it's been better, but they need that havoc in front that they're not having. As far as him with Pross going to that well too often, I think Torts is. I wouldn't mind maybe seeing Boyle centering Gabrick. I think that might be an interesting look. Boyle maybe opening up some space for Gabrick.
But Gabrick will never see the puck. Boyle doesn't pass.
Gabrick doesn't see the puck now.
I think just closing the traffic in front might be nice for Gabrick. So, yeah, we'll see. But I think definitely 100% on the power play. Shove his big ass right out in front and be nice.
All right, here's another question that I have for the round table. Prust is doing everything right now. He sees some power play time, kind of akin to Boyle, but the thing he does that Boyle doesn't do is he fights everybody's heavyweight. And I think it's a little bit too taxing and a little bit too much to ask for him to do all that. Do you feel that there may be, and we know Bugard is pretty much, left the building. Do you think there might be... do you find it prudent maybe for the Rangers to go out and find some guy who can fight the other team's goon? Because they're goons, they're fighters, stage fighters. They're not looking at Avery, they're looking to fight Pruss, because Pruss just doesn't say no. I mean, he's a goer. What do you think about the Rangers maybe picking up an enforcer? A low-end enforcer at the deadline. And do you feel there's a need for it?
We'll go to Mike.
I don't know where you put him, because when you get Fedotenko back in the lineup, who comes out for another enforcer?
Christensen.
Well, he's just coming out for Fedotenko.
They
had
room
for Bugard early in the season.
When Bugard was playing, there was no Zuccarello, there was no Proskel.
There was no Wolski.
Right, so the lineup has changed over, so where are you going to put another enforcer?
You know, you guys talked about Zuccarello. How do you assess his play of late? Is he a guy that you might see? To me, he's a guy that, I love to see him, and he's a great talent, but maybe he could benefit from being down in Hartford as well and seeing more major minutes. What do you think about that?
We'll go to Dave.
It's funny because Mike actually posted something on his blog about that. If he's not seeing 15 to 20 minutes a game, if he's not getting consistent power play and even strength time, then it is best served to have him in Connecticut. And I'm not saying that he's not skilled enough to be in the NHL. We all know he is. We all know he's good enough. But if the Rangers aren't going to utilize him properly, and we're all in agreement that this is not the year for the Rangers, then what harm is there in sending him to Hartford to get more minutes and starting to sharpen those skills so that next year we can use him a little bit more on the power play? We can create, hopefully, a second power play unit that can actually put the puck in the net.
From where Dave was, leaving Zouk on the fourth line like he was last game is a waste of his talent and his time, and it's not going to help him develop. But if this isn't the year for the Rangers, why not push him up the lineup and put somebody else who's really not here long-term down the lineup? So you can either send him to Hartford and let him play first-line minutes, or you can move him up and let him play enough minutes to be worth staying here.
Yeah, now the thing is the Rangers organization is stuck in limbo with that because they have these guys. They need them to round out the roster, but they're not going to give them top-line minutes because they kind of want to make the playoffs, so that they're not going to make any big moves to push for the playoffs.
Yep.
So it's limbo.
It's the Rangers need to decide
whether they're in rebuilding or not. They're sort of in like a half rebuilding.
They've been rebuilding. It's just a matter of when they need to play them. And, you know, you can rebuild without, you know, tanking a season, which is, you know, the Pittsburgh method. You know, if they want to push for the playoffs, then decide which players are important for that, and then if you can send them down, send them down. If you don't want to push for the playoffs and you don't want to give the kids minutes, send them down. You know, get them minutes. Doesn't matter what level. Get them playing. Get those legs moving.
And that's my bigger problem with the way they're keeping Delgado, because you're keeping him and you're afraid to use him. So if you're not going to use him, let him go play 25 minutes in every situation in Connecticut. Get away from Tortorella. Get away from the pressure of, you know, Tortorella snapping on him every time he makes a mistake, and let him learn.
Yeah, he's also got less confidence than the awkward kid in middle school right now.
Well, I'm with you. He should be sent down. The Rangers should acquire a seasoned defenseman, some guy, because the Rangers are going, you know, other than Jim Schanfo working with these defensemen, they're not learning from anybody on the job, which is making it harder. I'd like to see him get a seasoned defenseman as that seventh guy that comes in and out. Steve Eminger
is a
little bit
older. Leach.
Yeah.
Leach working with Delgado? I mean, what better fit is there for that?
Right. So, and you guys are also correct. I think they're kind of stuck in between. Do we try to make a push for the playoffs, or do we send some of these extra forwards down who are young, you know, like Zuccarello? And I wouldn't go as far as Stepan, because I think Stepan is clearly an impact player at this level. I don't really feel like Zuccarello is an impact player at this level other than the shootout. I know the guy has great talent, and he's going to get better. I love how he's tough on the puck, but I think he'd be better served down. Erik Christensen, I'm sorry, I would be benching that guy when he comes back. I think the Rangers have to get back to that brass tacks, meat and potatoes team that they had. Now, and I really think the identity is, you know, they have to decide what identity they're going to go in with. Because I frankly think they have too many forwards. There's just too many guys. It's a logjam. And they're all the same. I mean, pretty much. I mean, you got Zuccarello, he's supposed to be offensive. You got Volpe, he's supposed to be offensive. You got Erik Christensen, he's supposed to be offensive. Erik Christensen.
Oh, he's offensive, all right.
I actually have a question for the round
table. Too easy. Too easy.
I actually have a question.
Oh, a question.
Yes.
You actually reminded me of this, Eddie, when you say they have Zuccarello, who's offensive, they have Wolski, they have Stepan, they have Anisimov. Now, the Rangers clearly don't have, you know, top scoring. At what point do the Rangers say, okay, we have a lot of second and third line guys. At what point do they package somebody like Anisimov with either a Zuccarello or a Wolski and get a top-line player to go with Gabrick if they don't sign Richards? At what point are you okay with them dealing some of this second and third line depth to get an elite player?
I'm okay with it now. I'm okay with any deal that makes this team better for the next 5 years.
You got to. When you say elite goal scorer, there's so much, like, you're talking about Brad Richards. I'm anti-Brad Richards. I don't want to
I was saying
the
if they don't get Richards. If they need to get somebody else.
It really depends. I mean, if you're talking Zach Parise, I'm high on Zach Parise. You're talking about a guy like him, I'd trade it in a second.
I'm talking Parise, really, I'm talking Kopitar, anybody like that.
Especially when you have more second and third line prospects that are coming. You have Ware coming, you have Haglund coming, you have maybe Horak coming. So you're just
Christian Thomas.
Right. So you have all these. The only first line guy you have in the pipeline is Kreider. That's the only elite talent you have coming. So at some point you have a lot of redundant pieces.
Yeah, it's true. You do have a lot of the same type of players. So yeah, you know, it's tough. It's a tough call.
Do you have to win with superstars? I mean, do you always need those top line guys? I mean, you sprinkle a Gavrik, and then you have all the other pieces in there to fit in correctly. You know, you have all the younger guys up, and who's to say all those younger guys are only second and third line guys? Maybe they surprise. Maybe Christian Thomas comes up and he's a stud. You know,
and maybe they all
tank. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe you wait it out.
But the thing
is, you can't
wait it out with Hank and Gabbert getting older. They're both 28. All of a sudden, Hank's 34.
How long do you wait is the question.
That's up to them.
By the time Kreider reaches his potential, he's 25, 26, roughly, right? If he's that first-line guy, 25, 26, he'll reach his full potential. He's not going to come in and do what Crosby did. You know, when he's 25, 26... Hank's 34, and Gabrick's gone. So there's a window of opportunity that I think a lot of fans are missing right now. The window of opportunity is like the length of Hank's contract and Gabrick's contract. Once Hank gets to 34, yes, goalies win championships after 34, but he's not that elite-level goalie. And you have to start building around, you have to start compensating for that. Right now, Hank carries the team. Once he can't do that,
I think you need, in order to win nowadays and be consistently winning, you need to have two elite guys, at least two, and the rest have to fall in line and be those second line grinders and those third line grinders, secondary scoring where you can, I really believe that. I mean, you look at the Flyers, for instance. The Flyers, they have some great talent, but they also have those guys that fill in the gaps as well. You got to put guys like Richards and even Carter as, you know, those kind of couple elite guys that are a little bit better than, they're certainly above average. And supplement your team with the other things, which I think the Rangers have plenty of, like you guys said. But I think you need to have a couple elite guys, and I think you guys bring up a good point. When do you say, when do you say to yourself, you know what, we love Zuccarello and we love Artie, they're going to be good hockey players, but, you know, right now maybe we can make a move and get another guy in here. Now, I don't know who the guy is. Again, when you say elite guys, you know, I have to hear the names, because some guys, as you know, is overvalued. Some people are, undervalued. Right now, the only thing before us we got is Brad Richards ahead of us. And the only thing, I want to say something about Brad Richards is that I believe, as a Ranger fan, I don't want the Rangers to get stuck in another long-term deal. Because you know he's going to want long-term and a high contract. I mean, he's making a boatload right now. He's going to be
He wants 10 years and $70 million.
Because he's going to have two.
That's insanity.
I heard less than that, but he's going to have two, three.
$7 million a year, which is less than he's making now.
Yeah, but to me, the problem with Richards is not the money; it's the number of years. Anything over four years is going to bite the Rangers.
Well, the thing is, he is actually one of the best players in the league right now. Unlike Gomez and Drury, when they signed with the Rangers, with those absurd contracts, they weren't the best players in the league. Richards is one of the best players in the league right now.
There's no doubt about it. But the thing is, I could see this guy maybe playing 2 or 3 years with the Rangers, and then he's going to fall off, and then we're going to be stuck with this whole thing. I'd rather save the money and try to get some more offensive pieces. I don't want to be restrained and choked by this salary cap that's kept this team down. I mean, the bad spending and the checkbook, as Dave said before, that just killed us. It's killed us, and I don't want to go right back into it after we just got, you know, possibly if Drury gets bought out, that having those, you know, those three idiots that we had to deal with. It's just such a struggle to do anything. And plus, these young players are going to come to fruition, you know, and they're going to want contracts. You know, Callahan is up for contract, if I'm correct, pretty sure. Dubinsky, these guys are going to want money too. So I say no to Brad Richards, although it seems like a perfect fit. But if he wants long term, I don't want it. I've had enough of that. Well, that's my feeling on the whole.
Yeah, I was kind of on the Brad Richards bandwagon until a couple weeks ago when Captain 9NYR talked me right out of it for all the reasons you guys just said.
I
talked me right out of it.
I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
Okay, I'm looking at the CapGeek website right now. I'm curious, which of the guys that are not signed, that their contract ends this year, would you guys re-sign for next year? You have Frolov, Prokhorov, Fedotenko, and Emminger as the unrestricted free agents. And you have Callahan, Dubinsky, Anisimov, Boyle, Gilroy, and Sauer as the restricted free agents.
I would say none of the unrestricteds are coming. I don't think any of them are coming back. Fedotenko, Prospel, Emminger. Who was the other one you named?
Frolov.
Yeah, forget it. He's not coming. Okay, so those four are gone. Out of the other ones you named, I don't think Gilroy's coming back unless he's willing to come back for a lot less money.
Minimum salary.
He's making $1.75 million right now.
Right, they're definitely not qualifying him at $1.925 million.
Right. I don't see any reason. I like Matt Gilroy. I still have hope for him as well, but I can't see bringing him back for that money because they're not getting their money's worth out of him now. You know? And I still don't know about Anisimov. I like Anisimov too, but I still don't know if his future is with the Rangers.
How dare you speak against Hockey? Fuck you, my man.
I don't think Anisimov should be signed. I think that he should be traded as quickly as possible. I don't think that he's going to become this amazing center that everyone thinks he is going to become. He doesn't play tough.
Do you think Anisimov has the potential to be a 60-point guy?
Yes.
Do I think that? 20,
probably.
40? Yeah, I can see 60-point
guy. 20, 40, 15, 45. Wow, I'm terrible at math. Okay.
I think Artie doesn't have the vision yet to be that much. He still hasn't gotten the passing thing down, which is kind of a prerequisite for a center. But, you know.
Again, the kid's 22.
Okay,
you
but
know, you package him in the right deal, I agree, but you can't just not sign the kid.
Let me ask you this, on Anisimov, what's his role? Is he your first line center? Is he your second line center? Is he your third line center? Okay,
it depends. Brad Richards coming.
Well, wait. If Anisimov is your second line center, then is Boyle your third line center?
Boyle should be the team's fourth line center.
Yes.
Any team with depth makes Boyle their fourth line center. Prust, Boyle, Fedotenko on any cup contending team is a fourth line, not a third line. That's why the Rangers can't contend right now. And I stand by that.
And I completely agree with it. And I think you also have to make Boyle prove it again next year.
Exactly.
I agree with that as well. I agree with that. I'm just, I don't, I guess I have a hard time seeing where Artie fits. I don't know if he's defined himself.
Well, I'll tell you this: until Stepan starts winning, 45% of his faceoffs, as opposed to, I don't know, what is he at 7% right now? He's not going to stay at center much longer.
He's in
I think that's what's going to end up happening. You're going to end up with Stepan on the wing before.
Yep, and then Anisimov. If you put Stepan on the wing, all of a sudden, Boyle's your third line center again.
Right.
And so
Anisimov
hasn't been that good on face-offs either.
Can't take face-offs.
No, well, neither one is. And Artie needs to get a lot stronger to win face-offs.
Well, Artie's still 10% higher than Anisimov right now.
He's
still 10% higher than Stepan right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could be 10% higher than Stepan.
Do you guys know
Mom can be 10% higher than Stepan right now?
Oh, I knew his mom was going to come into this conversation at some point. You can't have six guys sitting around talking Rangers long enough without his mom coming into the conversation. And I still maintain that there is a New York Ranger on the roster with an aunt who is hotter than Mrs. Stepan.
Ooh.
And Mr. Geik and Mr. Montemagno can confirm this because they have seen the pictures.
We got that email.
Wait, yep.
who is his aunt?
Delzato.
Oh!
Delzato.
Big Mouth. Dude!
Wait, I want the email.
I am not confirming nor denying that.
You're going to hear about this tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
Do you guys know who the best face-off guy on the Rangers is right now?
Kubinski?
Percentage.
Sean Avery.
Exactly.
Oh. Yeah.
By percentage, how about this? Percentage of somebody who actually takes face-offs.
Right.
Well, I think he's taken about 10.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like 60%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do somebody who's taken around 100, and we'll go from there.
Well,
he started off as a center, though. He came to the league as a center.
But the other thing is you'd have to look and see who he was taking the face-offs against. You know,
sure.
If both centers were being chased, and then he's taking this face-off against, another third-line winger, then it doesn't look as impressive. But
their best face-off guy right now is Dubinsky.
Yeah, and what's he, right around 51% or last time?
Yeah, he was just over 50 last time I checked.
Yeah.
I thought he was a left winger, though. I don't know. Something's not right about that. The guy's taking all the face-offs, all the important face-offs, but he's a left wing.
That's another one of those weird Tortorella things where, he's decided Dubinsky's a winger. And no matter how many times he sticks him on the dot.
Yeah, the sick thing is it worked. So you can't really complain about it, but I don't get having our best face-off guy as a winger.
No, we lost Kevin, and he just tweeted me that he called back with another number, but I don't – oh, wait, maybe this is him. Hold on. Kevin, is that you, 516-809?
That's me. I'm back.
All right, sorry about that, buddy.
That's okay.
I was looking for an 809 area code, and then I realized –
oh, sorry.
Okay. No problem. I don't know how much you've missed because I wasn't watching the switchboard, but we were talking about guys on faceoffs. It's funny how Dubinsky was a left winger and Torts didn't move him to center, and then all of a sudden Larry Brooks wrote an article that Dubinsky should go back to center, and then all of a sudden Dubinsky's back at center.
Brooks is in the war room with those guys, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Or he's not. They stuck Prosper at center instead of putting Dubinsky at center.
Hey, at least we're consistent in not putting our best face-off guy at center.
All right, so let's... there's the 90-second warning. Wow, we're almost out of time. All right, before we run into the podcast, let me thank all you guys for being with us tonight, and we thank everybody for listening, and we will see you guys next Wednesday. If you're going to the game tomorrow night, look for Eddie. He'll be there. Who are you going to the game with tomorrow night, Eddie? Paul? Eddie?
Eddie? Hang up on us.
Oh, no, I didn't hang up.
Eddie's gotten so excited.
I'm here.
There he is. You're going to the game tomorrow night? Who are you going with, Paul?
I'm going to be with Paul Lincoln over there in the 300s. Don't know exactly where I'm sitting at yet. But if
all right.
I'll be at the
You'll
game,
see
too.
Me. Oh, you will?
Yep, section 412, my usual seats.
Nice.
I'll wave to you.
Sounds good.
All right, and don't forget March 26th at the Molly Wee in New York City, the second Blue Shirt Banner radio viewing party. We'll be celebrating our second anniversary. The Blue Shirt Banner will turn two on March 19th, so it'll be a fun day. We'll all be hanging out at the Molly Wee. The party starts at 11 a.m. Rangers take on Boston at 1 o'clock, so hopefully you guys come see us. Thanks, you guys, for listening. We'll see you next week. All right. So we're just about to go to podcast. I guess, guys, thank you guys for all calling in and taking part of this. I'd like to do it again maybe sometime next month. We get a little closer to the playoffs if you guys are all up for it.
Sounds good, man.
Definitely.
So, all right.
Awesome.
All righty.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Eddie.
All right, guys. Thanks,
thanks
guys. So much.
Later.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
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 All right. Are you still there, Eddie?
Yeah.
All right. Hold on a second. Before we hang up, Zach?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Just
thank you for holding. Thank you for holding.
Hey, no problem. I listened the last half hour. Those guys are great.
Yeah, it was pretty good once we got it going and got everybody comfortable and started just kind of shooting back and forth. I think it picked up steam. It started slow.
I tuned in when you asked the question whether the Rangers are going to be buyers or sellers. I wouldn't be surprised if we're sellers/buyers, but I think we're going to stay put.
Yeah, I think they're gonna. I think they'll look for a little tinkering, like a couple of the guys said, but not. I don't think they're gonna do anything major.
The thing is, Dallas is not gonna trade Brad Richards. That was the speculation until Langenbrunner got traded to Dallas. Now Richards is gonna stay in hopes that they make the playoffs.
Well, yeah, but part of it is they haven't been playing well and they had a bad ownership situation going on, but now apparently I think they've got ownership that might be in place, so. Their financial situation will be better. So I don't necessarily think Richards is going anywhere. And at this point, I'm off the Richards bandwagon anyway. I don't want him.
Yeah, I can care less. So long as if he comes to the team, so long as we don't give him a huge contract, and so long as he plays up to his caliber.
So did you tell Eddie you got to meet John Giannone?
I got to meet John Giannone and Dave Maloney at the store on Tuesday. And John Giannone was ripping into Joe Beninati.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw him on the show, and I was wondering if you were working that day.
I was. I always work Tuesdays and Thursdays, so you probably saw me in the background. But in between takes, you hear I'm all the way at the front of the store, and John's in the back of the store, and he's just screaming in Joe Beninati's voice, saying, "Welcome to the Dallas Stars games against my Washington Capitals." And then everybody's laughing, and then he says, "I'd like to thank Versus for firing me." He really hates Joe Beninati.
Oh, well, then him and I have something in common.
Yeah. Did you say hello to him?
I said hello to him. I shook his hand. I told him that his jokes are making me laugh. And I said, so long as Joe doesn't hear it, it's all good.
Did you say from the side to him?
I did not say to the side.
From the side.
I did not say that to him.
I thought about pranking the show that night. Just saying, you know, I really enjoy you, John, from the side, and you, Dave.
I would never say that to them.
Why not? Oh, you work there, that's right. You don't want to get fired.
Exactly.
Zach, I got a question.
I got a question for you.
What's up?
You have a coworker. His name is Damon. Is it Damon Callahan?
Yeah,
or Damon?
Damon Callahan.
Damon Callahan. He's a big Rangers fan.
He is.
You got to get him listening. Got to get him calling in.
I haven't seen him in a while because he's got another job and he's also in school and everybody's hours have been cut down, so I barely see anybody.
They cut everybody's hours?
Yeah, well, the manager retained a lot of the employees that were hired during the holiday season, and as a result, you know, we can't work our usual 24 hours a week, so I'm only in there twice a week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but if I ever see him around, I'll definitely let him know. I could probably message him on Facebook.
Okay. Yeah, because
I got a question because speaking of the NHL store, because apparently somebody came to the store on Sunday asking for me, and I don't know him at all. His name is Marlon, and he's tall, he wears glasses, he's a diehard Ranger fan. Does this ring a bell to you guys?
No.
No. Marlon Wayans?
Yeah, there you go.
Marlon Wayans. Wayne. No, this guy was white.
No, I don't know.
He might be somebody that listens to the podcast.
That's what I'm thinking. But I don't know. I don't know his username. He's never not once messaged me or anything like that.
Hmm.
You're an internet celebrity now. You're going to have to deal with these things. You calling in and...
You're getting like Newman.
And there's no way I'm giving Newman Delzato's picture, his aunt's picture. Because that'll be all over Facebook in a second.
Yes, and he'll be at her house.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, definitely don't give the picture to him. Don't give the picture to anybody. I'm not surprised that it's Delzato's aunt, but I was thinking
picture,
it was one of the Russian players.
That picture stays in the family.
Nice lady. She's a supporter of the show, and
she's very nice. She emails me all the time. Just you know, if she reads something on the site, you know, about Michael or whatever, she just emails to say hello. She's got a business that she's involved in that you know she sent my wife some samples of, and she's very nice, but she is gorgeous.
Wow.
She accidentally sent me her picture, and I was like, who is this? And she says, that's me. And I'm like, whoa.
How old is she?
Oh,
ain't that old.
She's not that old.
Well,
I don't know.
She looks like she's 30.
Yes.
Yeah,
I would guess 30s, early 30s, late. I don't know. Late. I don't know. She could be in her late. 30. She could be in her 20s.
Very interesting.
Petite
very interesting.
Young lady.
Very beautiful.
Listen, I got a serious question. I know you guys probably want to go soon.
And you're on the wrong show.
This has to do with Mario Lemieux's statement. It was right after the Islanders just pounded the Penguins at the Coliseum, and
yeah.
Lemieux made a statement saying that he doesn't want that in hockey, and he's not happy with the penalty.
Yeah, all this hypocritical bullshit, Zach. Just sum it up that way. It was all hypocritical bullshit.
Dave Maloney, during the radio show, one of the listeners called in saying that he was unhappy that Mario Lemieux made a statement like that. And Dave Maloney says, well, you have to respect him for what he says. And then he went on to say that Mario Lemieux does not help sell the sport. And when he said that, I realized that is true. He does not help sell the sport. Gretzky does. Messier does. I can name other players that sell the sport. Mario Lemieux does not sell the sport at all. And he has players on his team that always play on an edge. Matt Cook, finally suspended. You know, everybody's always yelling at Sidney Crosby, but Maxim Talbot's big hit on the Islanders, which is why the Islanders retaliated. You know, those players play on the edge. They never get in trouble, and finally Matt Cook does. And yet Mario Lemieux says, you know, that's that sort of stuff that the Islanders did should not be in the league, in the game. And yet his Penguins do that all the time. I was absolutely appalled when Lemieux made the statement.
Well, you're right. And, and Mario wants to threatens that he's going to take his toys and go home. Like, I don't want to be part of this league. We all know he's not going to leave. It's a false thing. Listen, Mario, we could care less. Great hockey player, but, the Crimea River. You got a guy on your team who's arguably the dirtiest player in hockey. You're leading the team in penalty. It was all fun and games when they were beating up on the Islanders. Fleury was laughing, chuckle fest. But then when the Islanders actually retaliated, then it became, oh, my God, it's a horror show what this little league has come to. Meanwhile, Brent Johnson knocked.
And to be fair, everybody was laughing at Rick DiPietro being dropped after one punch and then out for the next 4 to 6 weeks with facial injuries. Everybody was laughing
true.
At that.
You know? Yeah, no. And then when it happens to him, and you know, all of a sudden it's a, you know, it's a disservice to hockey. To me, I think it's hypocritical, and I think everybody recognizes that. Now,
yeah, but and all the fans at the Coliseum are standing on their feet cheering. They love that sort of thing. It's out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
They're sticking up for their own teammates. I love fights like that.
It's a gong show over there in the island. And then listen, when you're not winning, that's great. I always said if the Rangers weren't winning, I just want to see fights and mayhem and turn into a wrestling match. Now, I wanted to talk to you two guys about this. I didn't get to this in the show, but this came over the wire while we were on. No, actually it didn't, but this guy, you know how they have the in-between period shootouts, you know, where they get like a person to shoot and you got to get in that little hole there in the net?
Yeah,
you know?
That guy Fowler just missed a couple of weeks ago. Remember that? He hit like
the corner of it. It popped out.
But something else happened. I know there's a different story, right? I saw a headline about it, but go ahead. Tell me, what's the story?
Well, in the United States Hockey League, they had one of these things between periods at an Indiana Ice game. And they picked some 73-year-old guy to do it. This guy named Richard Marsh. He's 73, used to play amateur hockey. And it was for $50,000. And he takes the shot, and it goes in. Now, before he took the shot, he said he was going to give the money to some heart foundation. Okay? And he scores. Now, the insurance company, the local insurance company that put up the $50,000 for this shootout is refusing to pay him because they said that he was not exactly the certain amount of feet. He was 2 feet closer to the net than he was supposed to be. So they're not giving him the money. And it's on YouTube, this shot. And I just think it's so ridiculous that they can't give this the guy the money. He's 73. He's donating it to charity. I mean, it's atrocious.
Yeah,
I see it on the AOL headline. One of those daily buzzes. The highlight turns sour.
Huh.
Yeah. 50 grand. And it kind of parodies. I don't know if you guys seen the movie Semi-Pro. When they had to offer that guy the $10,000 shot, that guy, that drug that guy. And,
yeah.
And he tells him, come on, who's got $10,000?
It's grand. You got to go to a big supermarket to cash it in. Those are the only ones that will take the check.
I mean, that, it's parody almost the Will Ferrell thing, you know, Will Ferrell thing. They're not going to pay the guy.
Jackie Moon. That was his name. But Jackie, it's a big check made out of crayon.
that's an underrated movie, by the way. I like that movie.
I like that movie, too. I miss that a lot.
So you have a Jackie Moon incident in the United States Hockey League with the Indiana Ice. Not their fault, but the fault of this insurance company. And they have Allstate all around their boards, and people think it's Allstate, but it's not. Allstate is in control of that contest. Some other local insurance company, but it's just a 73-year-old guy who's donating it to charity. He was going to donate it to charity. I think that's like super magnanimous of a guy. $50,000? I'm donating it to the human fund.
Oh, and
this
it's
guy's
and money for people. Speaking of Seinfeld, real quick, I got a text from a friend of mine during the show. Uncle Leo died.
Oh no!
Yeah. Yeah, I was going
to
mention it, but we were going well. I didn't want to bring everybody down, but yeah, Uncle Leo died apparently.
I didn't have a chance to say hello to him.
Oh,
hello, Jerry. Hello.
You don't have
to
say hello to your favorite uncle.
The best episode with him in it was when he tried stealing the book from the bookstore.
Yeah.
You see him in jail. He's in jail doing the chin-ups. He's like, Jerry.
Yeah, like Cape Fear.
Answer the door already.
When they're arresting him, and he look at Jerry looks at him, and he goes, "Hello."
Hello. And then Kramer and Newman are hovering over his bed.
Anyway, all right, fellas, I think that wraps it up.
Okay.
All righty.
All right.
You gonna be at the store? You gonna be at the store tomorrow?
I think I'm gonna try to get down there because I got to get down there early because where I park. And I don't want to be waiting around Cafe 31 too long. I hate that place. So
yeah.
I may stop. It's got a good chance. I'd say I'm about 75-25.
All right, that's good. Because usually, like, the last couple hours I'm there is usually very dead, and I don't feel like dealing with customers or tidying up the shelves. So a familiar face would be great for me.
Employee of the month, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. I'll try to sell you something else.
Okay, well, I'm in the buying mood.
Sell the Heritage jersey.
We don't have it in the big sizes anymore.
Yeah. Oh! You need a... No, you should. No, listen, I don't think I'm skinny. I mean, you know, I understand.
Oh, what are you trying to say?
Hey.
I'm just saying we're out of a lot of things.
Listen, I'm a fat man. I don't care. Why?
You said it, not me.
I care to... Well, wait a minute. Now I'm taking a little umbrage after that.
Hey.
Listen, there ain't nothing wrong with being fat until you have a heart attack. Then there's problems. Other than that, pretty good.
What
and your dad's doing? And your dad's doing all right?
Big fat's where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
he's much better.
Ed, your dad's doing fine?
Yeah. And he's amazed that people actually ask me about him on the air. He still doesn't really know what goes on with my life, which I think never changed.
Your dad's birthday is next week?
Yeah, my birthday and my father's, actually. His is the 23rd, and 21st, and mine's the 23rd.
My dad's birthday is the 21st, so we're going to say happy birthday to everybody.
Oh, wow, great.
Holy,
yeah.
Your birthday falls on a show night again.
I know, right?
On a Monday night?
Last year we were doing the shows on Tuesday nights, and it was his birthday. So are you going to be available for your birthday show, or do we have to reschedule?
Oh, I'll be there.
Oh, all right. Then we'll do something special.
All right.
All righty. One final note. The Kings won in the shootout.
Well, good. They'll be tired. All right. Well, have fun at the game tomorrow, Andy. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right, have a good night, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.